Welcome to Your Career Doctors on Grapevine Radio. I'm Barbara Jackson.
And I'm Lee Miller.
And we're
your career doctors.
Your Career Doctors is all about taking control of your career.
It's about providing you with the information and contacts, skills, and tools you need on our show and on our website, yourcareerdoctors.com.
It's also about providing access to experts, like our guest today, Kathy Elster. Lee, why don't you introduce Kathy?
Our guest today is Kathy Elster. Kathy's a principal with Small Business Strategies, Inc., and the co-author of Working With You Is Killing Me. Welcome, Kathy.
Hi.
So tell me, Kathy, why are there so many bad bosses?
Oh, well, I think the number one reason is people are promoted for the wrong reason. Sometimes people are promoted because of longevity, which is doesn't mean that they have the aptitude for it. They just have been there for the longest amount of time. Sometimes people are promoted because they knew somebody or they had a relationship with somebody who promoted them because they were liked. Again, not a great reason. So that's probably the biggest problem. And on top of that is they don't get trained. Management training is hard to find.
Okay. Now, in your book, you talk about difficult bosses and extreme bosses.
Right.
What's the difference?
I think with difficult bosses, just the kind of boss who maybe is untrained or maybe is doing two jobs, many bosses have to have a job and then manage people. So let's say if it's a nurse, a head nurse, they also have a patient load as well as managing a staff. That kind of person you can deal with. We've got techniques for managing your boss. But extreme bosses are people with personality disorders. I mean, to be quite frank with you, they have personality problems. It's very difficult to work with somebody that you can't predict their behavior.
Okay, so let's talk about difficult bosses. Is
okay.
it possible to work with difficult bosses without driving yourself crazy?
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that?
Well, you know, you first have to take responsibility for the fact that anything that goes wrong, you can't always blame on your boss. You know, you have to take some responsibility, and there is a real lack of responsibility out there. So we've got rules. Number one, make sure you meet with your boss on a regular basis. I don't mean once every 6 months. I mean on a regular basis. So if that's 5 minutes every morning or maybe once a week or twice a week, but that has to be a consistent meeting. You also, as the employee, not the boss, in managing up, I'd like you to come to that meeting with an agenda and really know what it is you need from your boss and communicate it. Because that many, many people just say, well, he didn't give it to me or he didn't tell me. We're asking you to be responsible and actually create that agenda and let your boss know what you need. You're more likely to get it if you ask for it.
You're talking about, Kathy?
I'm sorry?
Is that a written agenda you'd come in with for the meeting?
I think if it's not written, it's not real. It has to be written. This way, even if you don't hit every point on the agenda, your boss has a copy of it.
Okay. And so what are some of the other rules for managing up?
Well, I'd like you to be on time. This is another issue we see with employees is that they tend to they're late coming into work, they're late on their deadlines, and that doesn't help your relationship with your boss. How about anticipating your boss's changing priorities? That's another thing. Sometimes you'll see that you know what the workload is for that day. You've got it planned out, but all of a sudden a problem happens. A customer calls up. Maybe they've got a problem. Why don't you go in and ask your boss how you can help? Maybe change your boss's priorities have changed. Therefore, your priorities have changed. And we see that rampant in the workplace that people don't really pay attention to that. They need to be told rather than just paying attention to what's going on. I think that's a real big one, too.
Okay. Any other rules for
managing
up?
There are, and they're slipping my mind.
Okay. How about, let's talk about one of those difficult bosses you talk about in your book, the avoider. Mm. What is an avoider?
Well, an avoider is somebody who can't face conflict. So if, let's say you're having a problem with a coworker and you go to your boss, one way you know you have an avoider boss, if they say to you, I'll look into it, or I'll see what I can do, that's a real avoidance technique rather than calling that person in and really talking to them. So an avoider just doesn't want conflict. And that's a problem.
So how do you deal with a boss who's an avoider?
We give a really good example in the book where it takes place in a hotel where they have a banquet hall. And the employee who books the parties has the person who then, the facilities manager, who then has to lay everything out in the room. And the facilities manager doesn't like taking any direction from the party planner. So if the party planner at the last minute says, look, we're going to have 10 tables instead of 8, he won't change it. So she has to go to her boss. Her boss is an avoider who won't confront. So what we suggest is that she creates a form that the boss just has to sign off to, so that when the facilities manager sees the form, he knows it's been approved by the boss, not just coming from her, and therefore he has to do it. This took the conflict away from the boss.
Sounds like a good tactic.
Yeah,
how about this?
You've got to be clever.
It is very clever. It is a good tactic. So how about the sacred cow, boss? That's another term
this
you use.
This is a really big problem, the sacred cow. Now, just for your listeners, a sacred cow is somebody who they got into that position in a way that you'll never be able to compete with. So they could be the brother or the sister of the owner of the company. They could be somebody who's just been there for a very long time, and they're never going to be fired because of loyalty. And the problem with the sacred cow is they're usually promoted beyond their competence.
Kind of the Peter principle?
Exactly. And I'm sure everybody is relating to this because there's one in every company. So what happens with the sacred cow is if you come in with a lot of energy and you've got a lot of really great ideas, the sacred cow is going to put them all down because they like to keep status quo. That's what they like.
Because they're incompetent, right?
Exactly. But here's the key. This is what you have to do with a sacred cow. You have to kiss up to them. You have to tell them how great they are. You have to ingratiate them and remind them of all the great things they've done. Then they will usually allow you to do what you want, as long as you make them look good. Their fear is you're going to make them look bad.
So basically you co-opt them by making them the stars.
Yes. You have to be willing to share the spotlight with the sacred cow. It'll pay off.
Okay, how about the charming, cheating liar? Mm. I love that.
Do you love that? Do you know one?
No, I know a lot of them. But why don't you tell our listeners what the charming, cheating liar boss is?
The charming, cheating liar is a great salesperson. And they everything that they do is a deal. They're constantly making deals. So they're the kind of person in the company who will promise a customer something completely unrealistic, and then it's your job to fulfill it. So they're charming. They're just everybody just loves them. But then they lie, and then you have to back them up. The only way to deal with a charming cheater liar is to negotiate with them and make a deal. Say, okay, you know what? I'll do that. I'll make sure I ship your client, but I want you to rent me a car for the weekend. You know, something, it doesn't matter how outrageous it is, they'll figure out how to give it to you.
Oh, so you just use that to get what you want.
Right.
Okay.
Right, exactly. Otherwise, you can't work for that kind of a person.
Okay, and how about the, you call them the shoot the messenger type boss?
Shoot the messenger, yeah. This is actually very painful, and I'm sure a lot of people will relate to it. The boss that maybe has an area of weakness, sometimes it's financial or sometimes it's sales, and you may have to go to them with bad news, which happens. And what they'll do is they'll shoot you down. They'll knock you down. You're the problem because they can't hear the information. So what you have to do with that type of person who will shoot you every time you come in, every time they'll throw bullets at you, is you have to learn to not surprise them with information, but start giving them small pieces of it way in advance so that nothing is a surprise. And also when you deliver the information, deliver it in bite sizes so that you're educating them and none of it is mysterious where they're going to have to attack you. That's really all it is an attack because I don't know what to do, so I'm going to attack you. That way I don't have to be responsible.
Good. Now, another piece of advice you give your readers is that they ought to, when they're managing up, constantly keep a pulse on the boss's changing priorities.
Right.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I gave the story before. I think, you know, we are in a very rapid pace, our society. So you may think when you come in on Monday morning, you know what you have to do that day, but take the time to look around and see if there are emergencies or what priorities have changed. Because in my company, priorities change on an hourly basis. So, and we're a small company. you just can no longer rest on your laurels assuming that, okay, everything is status quo, because it may not be. And that's how you become very valuable in the workplace, if you're somebody who can really see that, okay, I thought this is what we were doing today, but this is really a more important action to take.
Okay, you also talk about the extreme bosses, what I call toxic bosses.
Yeah.
What can you do about them?
Well, you know, you have to learn that it's not you. You know, you can't, and this is very difficult. It's not easy. When I say to you, don't take it personally, I know that that's a hard thing to take in. But literally, don't take it personally. It's not about you. A person that has a personality flaw or a toxic person, you're not going to change them. The only thing you can do is change your reaction to them.
Hey, so, give me some examples of what you would consider toxic bosses.
Well, I think the explosive type, you know, anyone who is a rage, you know, who brings rage into the workplace is very toxic for most people. There's also passive-aggressive, the person who says they're going to do something and then they don't. There's so many. Let's just stay with the angry one, because I think that's a big one.
How do you not take that personally when your boss is screaming and yelling at you?
First of all, they yell at everybody. Okay, first, you know, maybe they don't yell at everybody, but they yell at most people. So it can't be about you. That's the way they behave. But if you tend to be the target of their rampage, what you have to learn to do is go in and say, okay, this person, this is how they let off their steam. This is how this person communicates to me. I don't like it, and it doesn't feel good, but it's not about me. It's about this is the way this person communicates, and be able to listen to it and then walk out. Now, how you take care of yourself when you walk out, this is very important. Most people should, because what a lot of people do is they might have a drink of something that's not good for you, or they might eat a little too much or watch too much TV. We suggest you go exercise.
You have to take care of yourself while you go look for another job if you have a toxic boss?
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? You don't always have to leave a job with an exploder, because the better you get at dealing with their explosions, the less they explode, believe it or not.
Great.
Because they don't get the kick out of it. They don't get the high from it as much anymore. And it's interesting. I've seen people be able to master this. I've actually seen a lot of very good workers be able to say, oh, you know, that's just who they are, and that's how they communicate, and it's okay with me. And they usually know how to take care of themselves. So you've got to get that out of your body. You know, that person just poisoned you. You have to get it out of your body. So we just suggest any kind of physical activity, go for a swim, go for a walk, wash your face, wash your hands, any kind of release. Will help.
Well, Kathy, thank you, and thank Lee for helping guide us through your book. I really appreciate your describing the differences in the difficult people and providing tactics of how to deal with them. But what I really loved is that this isn't just about work. It's about how to deal with difficult people in life. So I know I'm going to pre-order your book, Working With You Is Killing Me, and I'm hoping I can get you to sign it for me. Would that be possible?
Oh, I would love to sign it for you.
Oh, great. Well, right now we have to take a short break to hear from our sponsors at Macau, your training partner, and ReadyMinds, the career counseling specialist. But we'll be right back.
As a professional trainer, I've found that there are 5 basic learning styles. The computer-based training from Macau works on all 5. With Macau training, you don't just watch a movie or read a manual. You access videos, examples, and exercises as you need them. You can use Macau courses to improve your management skills or to become an expert at your computer software. To find out how to achieve more with Macau training, call us at 877-752-5329. That's 877-752-5329, or visit MacauCorp.com today. www.macaucorp.com. Macau creates training that works. It's that simple.
Feeling alone in your career search? Not sure of which career direction you want to pursue? Maybe you have a direction, but you still need some assistance. An ideal solution would be a personalized career counselor or coach right at your fingertips and phone, wouldn't it? Someone who could immediately relate to you and to your situation without spending hours upon hours reviewing your experiences? Well, you know what? There is such a thing. Welcome to ReadyMinds, an organization created to assist you Yes, you. One-on-one, in the privacy of your own surroundings, you'll work with Ready Minds online and via the telephone. Whether you need resume assistance, job search assistance, or an industry review, your personalized ReadyMind counselor matches your skills, your values, and your interests to assist in your career planning. You heard me, career planning, not job finding. So let's get serious and find the right career fit, and then locate the best position for you starting today. Take control now. Find your answers. When you're ready, call ReadyMind at 1-800-225-8248 or visit their website at www.readyminds.com. You'll get personalized guarantee from the company's CEO, and if you mention your career doctors, you'll receive a 10% discount.
Welcome back to Your Career Doctors on Grapevine Radio. I'm your host, Barbara Jackson, and I'm here with Lee Miller, our co-host. Lee, I really enjoyed our conversation with Kathy. How can you explain why otherwise nice people just get crazy sometimes once they go to work?
Well, sometimes I think they let the power go to their head. But more often than not, I think that's just what they saw their bosses do, and that's how they learned to manage.
You know, that Dallas TV show, I think, taught too many people to act like JR. I see too much of that in the workplace.
Yeah, people model themselves after what they see on TV, unfortunately.
We really need a TV show of great bosses, I think. Do you think sometimes, though, that maybe that modeling comes from the fact that sometimes managers think that being a jerk is the only way they can get employees to do what they need them to do?
Yeah, I think many times they don't know any other way to manage. That's what they've seen. That's all they know. And they think that they have to be that way in order to get the best performance out of their employees. And it's just the opposite. You know, they need to be doing just the opposite of what, in fact, they think they ought to be doing. Because we all know that you never get good behavior and model behavior by fear and intimidation. You only get it by proper rewards.
Well, you know, that brings up an interesting point. Why do you think that we often react to negative behavior more strongly in the workplace than we do if we, you know, just were interacting with our friends at the gym?
Well, like if you're at a party or you're at the gym and someone behaves badly, you can walk away and go to the other part of the gym, or you can leave altogether. You don't have that option at work unless you quit, and most of us are just simply not in a position anytime our bosses behave badly to simply quit and go on to the unemployment lines.
Oh, good. So I can expect you to be here next week, huh?
Yeah, I'll be here regardless of how you behave, Barbara.
Well, what do you do? What's your suggestion about coworkers who want to gossip about someone being a jerk? I mean, when somebody's a jerk, everybody in the office knows it, and frequently it's the topic of conversation. I've seen a lot of people who aren't necessarily the source of the rumor get in trouble for gossip that happened in the office.
Yeah, it never pays to gossip at work, although it usually makes sense actually to listen because you're going to be amazed at what you're going to learn by listening. But by becoming a gossip, it never ever is useful to badmouth another employee at work, whether it's your boss or anybody else, because it makes you look bad.
So when you're hanging out with some coworkers and they're gossiping, do you say, hey, knock it off, or what do you suggest people do?
Well, I generally just suggest you listen, don't buy into it, don't react, and they'll quickly move off the topic unless you react. And that way, you know, as I said, you never know what kind of good information you're actually going to get by listening. So I always suggest at work, listen. Rumors are they're not always true, but there's always a grain of truth in the rumors, and rumors and information actually are power at work.
Well, how do you know if you're the jerk?
Listen. I mean, people will let you know if you're a jerk, and you just need to be on the watch. Watch your own behavior. Watch how people react to you.
So when you start getting reactions from people that you don't expect, maybe that's an indication that you're off the reservation a little bit?
Yeah, and you need to have somebody at work you can just kind of talk to, somebody who you trust, maybe a peer, and ask them, you know, well, what's going on? Am I behaving well, or is there something going on here that I'm not seeing?
So it might be okay if I were your really close friend at work and we were at the same level to say to you, you know, Lee, I'm not sure that Kathy reacted to you the way you were expecting. Did you feel that way too? And then give you some coaching. But I might not do that if you weren't my peer, if you were my boss. Probably, unless I had a very close relationship, I wouldn't tell that to my boss.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't tell that to your boss. It's a very risky thing to tell your boss he's acting like a jerk.
Although, on the other hand, maybe you've got nothing to lose in the last instance.
But you can use Kathy's tips on how to manage up when it is your boss. And basically, by managing up, you're controlling their behavior.
And you know, I really enjoyed our conversation with her, and I heard you ask her during the break if she could put her quiz on our website. Did she agree to do that?
Yes, she did, and we were very pleased to have that, and we'll get it up on our website as soon as we can.
Well, that's really terrific. I can't wait to take that quiz, and our listeners can go there, and once they discover about working with jerks, I just love the name of the show. They can also go to the network area, and they can post some problems that they're facing in their own work life, and we can coach each other around using the tips that Kathy talks about.
Yeah, our listeners can help each other solve their problems.
So while they're in the networking section, do you have a specific question you want to post there?
Yeah, let's post and ask our listeners to describe the biggest jerk they've ever worked for and how they've dealt with them.
You know, I have to say, the biggest jerk I ever worked for wasn't even when I was getting a paycheck. It was when I was doing some volunteer work, which counts. And
you have to work with those guys.
You have to work with those guys, too, and they're usually pretty ego-filled. And I will say that it was a religious fellow named Brother John, and hopefully there's like a million of them, so he won't know I'm talking about him. But he was one of these people who would always say, I'm going to quit, I'm going to walk out, you guys are going to be stuck, you're not going to know what to do. And we were always scared until we realized he was never walking. And then it was sort of a one-trick joke. It didn't work anymore.
Yeah, that's what Kathy said about emotionally unhooking yourself from the situation. And it's about your reaction. I mean, no one can do anything to upset you if you don't let yourself react.
Yeah, and it was really too bad because this guy was so talented. If he could have just found out how to communicate what was frustrating him, we probably could have fixed it. He would have been happier. The people we were serving would have been more lucky to have the service, and everybody would have been calmer.
And if you don't react, then eventually he's going to stop that behavior.
Yeah. No, he moved on. Anyway,
lucky you.
Exactly. Lucky us. It was a great volunteer opportunity. Another item on our website is the job application for Your Career Doctor's Job Seeker 2005 contest.
The reality radio show, huh?
But, you know, I'm wondering if we have any applications from jerks.
Actually, we don't have any applications from
people who work for jerks.
Yeah, I was going to say, we don't have any applications from anyone who works for a jerk, and that's why they want to leave their job. So if you're in that category and you want to leave your job because you happen to be working for a jerk, I'd encourage you to come online and go to our triage section and apply.
And indicate that the reason that you, because we're not going to share this with anyone, we're just, you know, selecting our job seeker. So if you are in the position of looking for a new job because the people who you work with or the person for whom you work is a jerk or elicits any of these bad behaviors that Kathy was speaking about, we might give you sort of veterans preference credits and take pity on you and select you. So make sure you indicate that on your job application form. But Lee, how do you explain when you're in the interview that the reason that you're looking for a new job is because you work for a total crazy person?
Well, that's a really important question because when you're in an interview, you never, ever want to talk badly about a employer, a former employer, even if it's true. So the fact that your boss is a jerk is not something you would share with someone you're being interviewed by because they're not going to know whether that's true or not. All they're going to know if you're bad-mouthing your former employer is not only is your former boss a jerk, but so are you. So that's never a way to go. Always talk positively as to why you want to go to work for this company or this particular boss as opposed to speaking ill of a former employer.
Now, sometimes jerks are legendary. So I've actually been in a situation where I say, you know, I work for so-and-so, and the interview says to me, how was that? Because they know that this person is a legendary, crazy person. So when the interview person indicates to you that they know you're working for a jerk, do you kind of get sucked in and say, oh, yeah, you should hear what he does?
Well, hopefully you don't get sucked in because that's probably a test, and you will look so much classier and so much better if you don't badmouth him. You don't want to lie, say he's a great boss. Simply don't buy into that bait and simply just say neutral, oh, he's okay, I'm able to work with that with him. I found a way to work with him without any problem.
And actually that highlights the strength that, you know, okay, we both can acknowledge without saying it that the guy's a total bozo, but here's how I work with him without saying that he's a bozo.
And you're going to look so much more classy if you do it that way, and that's going to be a big plus in the interview for you getting that job.
That's a, so you can turn working for a jerk into a real bonus in your interviewing process. That's a great tip. Do you have another one for us? Do you have a career doctor's career prescription for the week?
I sure do. Here's my prescription for the week. When you take a new job, look very carefully at who your future boss is, because it's a lot easier not to take a job where your boss is a jerk than it is to have to deal with that boss who is a jerk.
Especially if you have enough money saved so you can still buy groceries.
Well, there is always more than one job.
Well,
so tell me, you know, what else are we going to be featuring this week on our website?
Well, you know, we do have a online course or CD called Making the Transition to Management Without Killing Your Career. It's an interactive course that we produced with Macau.
And that's your course, isn't it, Barbara?
It is. It is. Actually, it was a great course to teach. I really enjoy teaching people how not to turn into the legendary jerk of the office. There's five mistakes that most people make at least three of the first year that that they're a new manager, and we want to help you avoid them.
So we're going to offer that on our website, Barbara, along with Kathy's book?
We are, so people can go there and buy them.
So you can get a special price for this?
A special price, the special price of $99. So,
and that's regularly what, $149?
Oh gosh, I think it's a long course. I think it retails usually for $149, but we do have a sale going on because it's the topic of the week.
All right. Thank you, Barbara.
Well, thanks for reminding me about that, Lee. And what are we going to talk about next week?
We're talking about how you help your son or daughter get a good job after graduation. Or, as I like to call it, how you make sure your kid doesn't have to move back home after graduation and live in your basement.
Well, we know everybody's going to be anxious to hear about that. This has been your career doctors, Barbara Jackson and Lee Miller at Grapevine Radio. Thanks for listening, and remember, it's your life, your career, your choice.